Will they be better this week? That's the question. Patriots and the Jaguars about 30 minutes away from kickoff at Wembley Stadium. And joining us right now here on WEEI Football Sundays is your friend and mine. You hear him on WEEI Afternoons with yours truly, 2 to 6 right here on these airwaves, along with the Six Rings postgame show and halftime show as well. I'm talking, of course, about my guy Andy Hart, who joins us right now. Andy, how you doing?
Good morning, peeps. What's up?
Good morning to you, too. Just sitting here looking at the latest offensive line combination, the seventh and seventh weeks. We got Jacobs at left tackle, Jordan at left guard, Ben Brown at center, Layden Robinson at right guard, and your right tackle is Mike Onwenu. I hate to start with an offensive line question, but again, this is not a defense that a lot of people fear, certainly not a Houston Texans defense, but this is an offensive line that I feel like every defense in the league has got to look at and say, oh, yeah, we can get to the quarterback with this.
Yeah, certainly. And certainly with Drake May slipping in pregame warmups, that's not exactly a good omen for his ability to move around and avoid the pressure. I actually don't hate this offensive line. Now, I know Mike Onwenu, and I was reading Mike Reese's notes on ESPN this morning, the numbers from ESPN about how lowly rated he is as both a pass blocker and a run blocker. But this line, other than Jacobs at left tackle, I don't hate. I don't hate the other four guys. I mean, Ben Brown is obviously a work in progress. I have no idea what he is long term, but if the sampling we got is what he's going to be, if you get Lowe back, I think this combination with Lowe might be your best line. But it's going to be interesting because I think, you know me, I want them to throw the ball, and to throw the ball, you need to have at least a little pass protection against a unit that has some guys that can get after it in Walker and Josh Allen. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously going to be trepidation every time you take the field. And it's not just the seventh starting line offensive lineup. I was reading, I think it was Hard Cold Football Facts, Aaron Schatz had it this morning. They've already used, I think the number was 12 offensive linemen.
Correct.
And they're heading toward the record, and we're in week seven. So this goes back to how laughable it was for the group that Elliot Wolf put together, and then after that for him to continue to just sort of beat us over the head with, nope, they're fine, this is a good group, we've support, we got the support for a young quarterback, kind of asinine. It was a joke then, and we all knew it was going to get worse, and it has.
Andy, statistically, how high are your expectations for Drake May today?
Since I just put in a little FanDuel parlay and I took the over on things, no, I'm looking for a 200-plus yard passing day, multiple touchdowns, get the ball to Pop Douglas. I think he's going to be the guy. Yeah, this is a bad defense they're going against. 14 touchdowns, one interception for opposing quarterbacks, 114 passer rating. If Drake May has a little time, and Drake May can stand on his own two wet feet there at Wembley, I think they're going to make plays in the passing game. I want them to put up points. I've been beating the dead horse all week. I want them from the get-go to go tempo, shotgun, let Drake May cook. I think that's when he's comfortable. We've seen it in two-minute drives in practice and now on the game field. I want them to throw the ball all over the field, and I want him to put up numbers.
Well, talking about bad defenses, you got one of your own. The New England Patriots defense ain't great. Christian Ellis looks like he's going to be starting on defense in place of Raekwon McMillan. Do you expect that that'll impact the defense at all, or will they still be as horrible against the run as they've been the past few weeks?
Objection, Your Honor, leading the witness. You can't laugh mid-question. I don't think that's allowed in this business.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But it was appropriate. No, I don't think Christian Ellis is going to be some be-all, end-all, save-all band-aid for the defense. The reality is, up the middle, you have problems defensively. Christian Barmore, good apology, good job, appreciate it. Maybe now you can get on the track to coming back, as we had been sort of hearing about rumblings of. You're not going to get Bentley back, not going to get Peppers back, so you're soft up the middle. You're facing challenges up the middle. And, you know, this is a Jaguars team that has hit big plays, both in the run game and the pass game. I know they're not a great offense, but certainly Brian Thomas can make plays in the pass game. And then in the run game, Tank Bigsby has made some plays. So, yeah, I don't feel great about this run defense until they prove they can be great. And the problem with them is, you know, like the big, it's you can be fine on six plays, but then if you're give up a 50-yard run on the seventh play, everybody forgets the previous plays where you may have been decent with your run fits. So And I think part of it that is sort of skated here, because we have been talking about Ellis and McMillan and swapping linebackers. I don't think Keon White's been very good in his run fits, never mind his pass rush, controlled pass rush, that was sort of the criticism of him for a couple weeks. I think he gets washed out of the way too easily at times on that defensive front, and I think he is made for gaps that linebackers haven't been able to fill. So if I would absolutely run the ball on this Patriots team until they prove they can stop it.
Andy Gerard Mayo said that there's going to be some changes with who's going to be starting. We saw that Jalen Polk is active today, so he's obviously not going to be inactive or anything. Raekwon McMillan looks like he's not going to be starting next to Jelani Tavai there at linebacker. Any other ideas of who this may apply to, or if it's going to apply to anybody else?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, Polk may see a lesser role, I guess, but you know I was an advocate for him being a healthy scratch and really kind of sending a message there.
He could still be a healthy scratch, technically. I mean,
he could fill the K.J. Osborne role. He's been a DNPCD this season, so you're right. Maybe he is that. Maybe that's the you sit there and you watch and think about what you've done wrong kind of mentality. But I was actually just listening to Curran on TV. I think he blew you guys off, but he still does television.
Big time.
He had an early hit and then an early show today.
We make plays, not excuses.
The E stands for early, I guess. Yeah, too early to come join our show.
But what he was talking about is he thinks this was another example of Gerard Mayo kind of misspeaking and being too open. And you know, people then expect big changes when you say changes are coming and starting lineup. And then when they don't get them, they're going to be disappointed, even though I don't know much he can do. You know, Phil Perry was chatting with him on this topic, and he brought up Mike Onwenu. You're going to bench Mike Onwenu because he hasn't played well or because he had a penalty or whatever? No, that's cutting off your nose to spite your face. He's your best offensive lineman. He's your highest paid offensive lineman. So there's only so many chances you can make without really hindering your own opportunity to win a winnable football game. And make no mistake, this is a winnable football game. So I'm not sure we're going to see overly dramatic changes here to the lineup. I think Ellis isn't even really a symbolic change. I think it's a young linebacker who was playing better and has earned the opportunity to play more. I think that's why you'll see more of him. And then the wide receiver situation is so uncertain that, you know, I don't even know if we know if a message will be sent or they're just jockeying for roles behind the top three. The top three seem set. Right, you got DeMario Douglas. Booty has done a nice job injecting himself in there, and then you got Osborne. Beyond that, if Polk plays or Osborne plays, does it really matter? I don't know. So I kind of agree with Curran. Don't tell me what you're going to do as a coach. If you want to be open, then maybe post game when somebody says, "Hey, did Jalen Polk not play because of some of the drops and stuff you've been talking about?" Yeah, say yeah. We're kind of sending him a message, but when you do it pregame, people expect more and get less, and you know, you overpromise, underdeliver, and it breeds disappointment.
Andy, outside of the return of Ramondre Stevenson today, is there any aspect of the running game that you think that they could improve to get going a little bit more like it was very, very early in the season?
Well, I think Ramondre's production is one, obviously. He's a good runner and he breaks tackles, and this isn't the best run blocking line, so I think you need somebody who breaks tackles. But the secondary part of that is I think it pushes down Antonio Gibson into a role which I think he's good at. Change of pace, slasher, quick hitters, and I think the combo is more dangerous. It's, you know, not a, I don't want to go all thunder and lightning like it's the greatest thing ever, but you got a little thunder and lightning nature to it that I think it allows Gibson to be in a more natural role. And you know, I just said it, I kind of like the 4/5 of the offensive line. I kind of like the ability to run to the right, even though the numbers don't suggest it's working. I think running behind Onwenu and Laden Robinson, that's a pretty formidable pair over there that you should be able to pick up yards behind. So that combo on the right side, Stevenson and Gibson sort of in their natural roles, yeah, I do expect a little bit of an uptick here.
Andy, do you think this Jaguars team is still playing for Doug Peterson? Like, I was saying earlier, I feel like there's a chance that they just straight up lay down in this game in, like, the second quarter, and they're just kind of done with it. Do you think that they're actually still playing for this coach?
I don't. Anytime a coach... Well, I mean, anytime a coach is whining about the culture publicly, you're the head of the culture.
You're the one that's the culture.
How about, like, spinning out?
Right, like, I just don't understand it. So, yeah, we know that London games and European games can cost people jobs. I don't know if his players will be chanting, "We want Belichick on the sideline," because Mac Jones will probably punch them all in the nuts if they tried to do that. But I do think Doug Peterson, and I'm not a Doug Peterson guy. I've always thought he was kind of a boob, even though he is a visor guy, and we visor guys have to stick together.
I know, really. That's harsh words for a fellow visor guy.
Yeah, you have Doug Peterson and Dennis Allen on your side. That doesn't seem like a very good corner
and
to be
Josh
in.
Josh McDaniels somewhere.
Steve Spurrier was a very good coach in college
Sean
football.
Sean Payton's not terrible.
Sean Payton's a good coach. Like, we can balance the list out pretty well, but Doug Peterson would be on the negative side. I agree. And, yeah, I do think he is probably coaching for his life, and I don't know what the leadership is like in that locker room. You know, it's probably tough for Trevor Lawrence. First of all, I'm not sure how good a leader Trevor Lawrence is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mix in, well, you're making 200 and what million, and you kind of stink, and you're not really taking us where we're supposed to be going. And I just wonder where the player level leadership comes in that locker room. But it starts at the top with Doug Peterson, and I don't know that he'll be at the top very much longer.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. This could be the game that knocks Doug Peterson right out of that job if they lose to the Patriots. And listen, losing to the Patriots here should be a fireable offense this season, the way things have been going. That's the voice of Andy Hart. You can hear him after the game in the Six Rings post-game show, and you can hear him all week long with me on 2 to 6 on WEEI Afternoons. Andy, great job as always. We'll talk to you later.
See you, lady. See you, gentlemen.
Right. See ya.
See ya.
Lady said that in respond to me.
He's talking to me.
Yeah, but I said see ya, and then he said see ya, lady.
Yeah, but
and
he was gentleman. Thinking about me.
He was thinking about you.
Yeah, he was trying to be polite.
Come on,
ladies
honestly.
First.
Who isn't? 617-779-7937. There's your phone number if you'd like to jump in here. We got one segment left for Pop, Lock, and Drop. But first, here's Chris Schein with trending that I'm going to listen to this time. London calling indeed. We're about 7 minutes away from kickoff here. Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium in London. Jaguars now 7-point favorites. This line's gone up since the show started, which I'm surprised by. But let's get into more of that with the slate of games here today. We can include the Patriots and the Jags, if you want to, in today's edition of Pop, Lock, and Drop. There we go. Pop, Lock, and Drop brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K. Mego, you're usually not here for this because you have to go to Gillette. You're not at Wembley Stadium, so why don't we start with you? Who's going to pop today?
Okay, so popping, he's popped for the last several years, but I like this particular bet, Shime.
Okay.
And it's over 50 rushing yards for Josh Allen.
Okay,
the
I'm in.
Juice on this, plus 370.
Ooh,
I found
okay.
on DraftKings.
Ooh,
now,
wee.
They're seeing Tennessee. The last three games, Tennessee's rushing defense fallen off a little bit down towards the middle of the pack. Josh Allen has only rushed for 50-plus yards once so far this season.
Yep.
So I'm just saying do factor, because the last time he did that was against the Houston Texans.
Okay.
So maybe he just gets a little revved up. Gets going today.
I'm into it. I like it. That Tennessee defense can stifle you a little bit, so he may need to create some offense. I'm into it. My pop for you this week, I'm going to go with Brock Bowers of the Vegas Raiders. I think Brock Bowers after this week will be a household name. I think you're looking at a huge, huge day for Brock Bowers against the Rams. With Davante Adams gone permanently now in Vegas, it is all going to be funneling to Brock Bowers going forward. So I think Brock Bowers will pop today.
All right, I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley and his return to New York as he takes on his old team.
Revenge
he doesn't,
game.
He doesn't expect to be booed, I heard him say. He's like, they're not going to boo me in
They'll
New York.
Him.
Saquon, they're going to boo the hell out of you in New York. They hate you now. You went to the Eagles. What do you think? You're not going to get booed, and I think he's going to feed off of it. I think he's going to have a good game, and I think that Giants run defense kind of sucks. The Eagles kind of suck too, but I think this could be a get-right game for them and for Saquon, so I think he pops today. All right, who is your lock, Mega?
My lock is specifically over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Kirk Cousins.
Okay, love that.
So
great call.
They're going up against a Seattle secondary that's talented, young, but really just, again, middle of the pack average statistically.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, come on. Kirk needs a little more respect.
I think they're missing two corners as well, and their pass rush has been decimated with injuries. I love that play. I am going to go with another passing prop. It is insulting to me that you have kept Drake May's passing prop at 200 yards all week long. It got as high as 205 and then dropped down to 198 in some spots. Drake May, 200-plus passing yards. Lock it. Book it, stick it in. I am
Whoa.
Taking I am taking Drake May 200+ all day, every day, and about 100 times on Sunday.
Down, boy. I'm going to go with my lock as the Washington Commanders this week, and I can't believe Mego passed on this one. It's the biggest line of the day.
I choose one of them every week. Biggest line of the week.
9.5 points, and I think they cover every bit of that. I think that it's going to be a blowout. I think Carolina, even though they've been better with Andy Dalton, is going to run into a buzzsaw in Washington, and that Jaden Daniels and that Commanders team is going to put Carolina right in their place. I like the 9.5. I usually don't go that high when it comes to teams like Washington, but hey, they've been surprising me this year. They hung around with Baltimore last week, which I didn't expect them to do, and they did. I think that's a real legit team you have there, Mego, and I think that they are going to smoke the Carolina Panthers today.
Bad division for them.
It certainly is. All right, and who are we dropping? What game are we dropping? What do you not want to touch?
I'm actually, and I want to watch this game, but if I were putting money down, I'm staying away from Vikings Lions. I think that
you're in my head.
I think that there's a real, like, everybody's looking at the Aiden Hutchinson injury and thinking that the Vikings, being a 5-0 team, are just going to, like, bulldoze through that situation. I have no idea what's going to go on there.
I like Detroit today, personally, but yeah.
Mego, I am 100% with you. I've done this now the last couple weeks. There are games that I love to watch, but I don't want anything to do with. I'm going to go with Kansas City and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I don't want to touch that game. Anytime I bet against Mahomes, I lose, and I really like San Francisco this week, which means I am going to stay as far away from that game as physically possible.
Amica Insurance.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi, Amica.
Oh, nice. Hello. This is sponsored also by Amica Insurance today. Okay. Pop, Lock, and Drop. I didn't realize that. And for my drop, I am going to go with the Raiders and the Rams. It's the opposite of what you guys are talking about. I just don't like when it's two bad teams and you're not really sure what's going on there. I saw Cooper Kupp's on the trade block. The Rams are scrambling. The Raiders are a mess. And I just don't like games like that, especially when the Rams have this big line, 7.5, I think, or seven points.
Yep.
I mean, that seems like a lot for that team, even though it's the Raiders. I'm staying far away from it. The other one I don't really like this week is Colts-Dolphins. I like it a little bit better, I guess, than I like Rams-Raiders. But still, I think in general that's one that I would stay away from. I understand what you guys are saying with these two games with the two good teams. I still like Detroit. As good as Minnesota's been this year, the way Detroit looked against Dallas last week, with or without Aiden Hutchinson, I thought they were a strong, strong-looking team. And speaking of strong-looking teams, you don't really have either one of those in Wembley right now, but that doesn't matter because
how
the Patriots and the Jaguars going at it here. We have kickoff in about 1 minute, so we'll leave you to it. Mego, great job. Scheim, awesome
Cheerio.
As always. Jacob, great job back
Top
there behind the, glass.
On.
Thanks to Fitzy. Thanks to Andy Hart. Thanks to Wiggy. And we'll talk to you next Sunday here on WEEI.